ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। On this first day of June 2013 in Los Angeles, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Prahlad Pacifies the Lords with Prayers, text number 6. I'm sorry, that's the next chapter. That was the previous chapter. It's Chapter 10, verse number 6. Aham tu akamas tvad bhaktas. Aham tu akamas tvad bhaktas. Tvam cha swami anapashrayaha. Tvam cha swami anapashrayaha. Nanyate havayor arto. Nanyate havayor arto. Raja sevakayor eva. Raja sevaka yoriva. Aham tvakamas tvadn bhaktas. Tvangcha svamana pashriyaha. Nanyate hava yorato. Raja sevaka yoriva. Aham tvakamas tvadn bhaktas. Tvangcha svamina pashriyaha. Nanyate havayorato. Raja sevaka yoriva. Aham tvakamas tvadn bhaktas. Tvangcha svamina pashriyaha. Nanyate havayorato. Raja sevaka yoriva. Aham tvakamas tvadn bhaktas. Tvangcha svamina pashriyaha. Nanyate havayorato. Raja sevaka yoriva. Aham tvakamas tvadn bhaktas. Nanyate hava yorato. Raja sevaka yoriva. Aham tvakamas tvadn bhaktas. Pashayaha. Nanyate hava yorato. Raja sevaka yoriva. Ladies? Aham tvakamas tvadn bhaktas. Tvangcha svamana pashriyaha. Nanyate havayorato. Raja sevaka yoriva. Aham tvakamas tvadn bhaktas. Tvangcha svamina pashriyaha. Nanyate havayorato. Raja sevaka yoriva. Aham, as far as I am concerned, true indeed. And for those of you not aware, this is Prahlad speaking to Lord Nrisimhadev. Akamaha. Without material desire. Tvat bhaktaha. Fully attached to you without motivation. Tvamcha. Your lordship also. Swami. The real master. Anapashriyaha. Without motivation. You do not become the master with motivation. Na, not. Anyatha, without being in such a relationship as master and servant. Iha, here. Avayoho, our. Artaha, any motivation. The Lord is the pure master. And Prahlad is the pure devotee with no materialistic motivation. Raja of a king, Sevaka Yoho, and the servitor, Iva, like. Just as a king exacts taxes for the benefit of the servant or the citizens, just as a king exacts taxes for the benefit of the servant, or the citizens pay taxes for the benefit of the king. That was all part of the word by words. Translation. O my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant, and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master, and I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. Please repeat. O my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant, and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master, and I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. Every living being is eternally a servant of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhoktaram Yagyatapasang Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. I am the proprietor of all planets, and I am the supreme enjoyer. This is the natural position of the Lord, and the natural position of the living being is to surrender unto Him. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. If this relationship continues, then real happiness exists eternally between the master and the servant. Unfortunately, when this eternal relationship is disturbed, the living entity wants to become separately happy and thinks that the master is his order supplier. In this way, there cannot be happiness, nor should the master cater to the desires of the servant. If he does, he is not the real master. The real master commands, you must do this, and the real servant immediately obeys the order. Unless this relationship between the Supreme Lord and the subordinate living entity is established, there can be no real happiness. The living entity is Ashraya, always subordinate, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Vishaya, the supreme objective, the goal of life. Unfortunately, persons trapped in this material world do not know this. Nate vidu svarta gatim hi vishnum. Illusion by the material energy, everyone in this material world is unaware that the only aim of life is to approach Lord Vishnu. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu radhananam param tasmat padatarang devi tadiyanang samarchanam. In the Padma Puran, Lord Shiva explains to his wife Parvati, the goddess Durga, that the highest goal of life is to satisfy Lord Vishnu, who can be satisfied only when his servant is satisfied. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore teaches, Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasaha. One must become a servant of the servant, a servant of the servant. Prahlad Maharaj also prayed to Lord Nrisimhadev that he might be engaged as the servant of the Lord's servant. This is the prescribed method of devotional service. As soon as a devotee wants the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be his order supplier, the Lord immediately refuses to become the master of such a motivated devotee. In the Bhagavad Gita 4:11, the Lord says, Ye yatamam prapadyante, tang sataiva bhajamyaham. As one surrenders unto me, I reward him accordingly. Materialistic persons are generally inclined to material profits. As long as one continues in such an adulterated position, he does not receive the benefit of returning home back to Godhead. Om jnana tumarandasya jnananjana shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and to all members of Sri Parampara. So Prahlad is, again, defining the relationship. Remember the context. After Lord Nrisimhadeva had killed Hiranyakashipu and all of his minions, he was still like raging, is just like a boiling pot of water. You turn the gas off, but it still continues to boil for some time. So he was very angry, blazing eyes. And although Brahma and Indra and so many other demigods, Gandharvas, they all offered prayers, they did so from quite a distance because they were still afraid. They were very afraid. And he wasn't pacified by those prayers. And so they encouraged Prahlad to go up and he likes you. Maybe, you know, you can do it. So Prahlad offered his prayers. We read those in the last chapter. And Nrisimhadeva was ecstatic to see him. He became Komala Nrisimha. Very gentle and soft at that point. And so then this chapter begins, and Lord Nrisimhadeva wants to offer a benediction to Prahlad. They take whatever you want. I'm ready to give you anything. And then Prahlad has this little discourse now in this chapter about how I don't want anything from you. You know, why are you tempting me? Are we doing business here? He literally uses that term, vanik. I'm not a vanik. You know. And so now he's defining the eternal relationship that he feels with Lord Nrisimhadeva, that I'm your eternal servant, you are my eternal master. And he spent in the previous verse, he explained, as Prabhupada reiterates here, that a real master, someone who has only the best interests of the servant at heart, will not offer any material benediction or anything material for some service. As soon as that relationship is adulterated by material desire, either on the part of the servant or the part of the master, then there's nothing transcendental about it. It all becomes material. And that includes all of this prayer and this worship and sacrifice to the demigods in order to receive some benediction or to go to the heavenly planets. This was Krishna's lesson in the Govardhan Puja Leela, is that there's no need to worship the demigods for material benefit. Whatever they give you is coming from me anyway. He says that in the Bhagavad Gita. But if you worship them and you don't worship me, then you're worshiping me but in a wrong way. Avidipurvakam. This is in the Bhagavad Gita. Several sections where he very strongly discourages us from worshiping the demigods for material benefit. Only unintelligent. Antabhattu palamtesham opamedasam. Tadbhavat opamedasam, not very intelligent. So then what should be the motivation? We discussed this yesterday. Because we're not meant to simply become passive or fatalistic about life. And, whatever is due to come to me will come to me, and that's it. No, we need to embrace the motivation of reestablishing this eternal relationship of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that we have lost. We've lost sight of, ignorant for so many lifetimes. So this is the eternal relationship. Jivera Sotapoy Krishnera Nityadas. These are the words of Krishna in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The first question of Sanatana Goswami, who am I? This should be the first question of every human being. Tato Brahma Jigyasa. You know, what am I doing here? How did I get here? How can I get free from all the miseries? I know. When we're in the illusion of the material energy, we try to make some material solution and eke out some happiness here. But that's a tragic waste of human life. That having come to this human form of life after so many millions of births, which is like any other form in that it is temporary, but is special because it can give you the artha. Remember yesterday we were talking about svartha, Prahlad quoting Prahlad, and Prabhupada quotes that verse that he would often quote, Nate Vidu, here in this verse. This concept of svartha, what is the real need? What is the real goal or benefit of the soul, not just of the senses? Not just of the external body or my false ego or my emotions of all of these external things, but the real need of the soul. So the human form of life alone can give that benefit. Artadam. But it's anichit, so one has to be dhira. Consider it very carefully and go to the right source of knowledge, the Srimad Bhagavatam, as delivered by the Bhagavat, the Mahabhagavat. And then we can say, oh, this is my real artha. It's not the benefit of the senses. It's reestablishing myself as a servant of Krishna, Nityadasa. So Prabhupada quotes that verse here, and he quotes Krishna that this is the... So what is the real master? Krishna is the real master because he has no motivation either. He's not receiving anything of value from the servants materially. His only desire is to bring us back to that, for our benefit, to that consciousness of being his servant. That's where real happiness lies. You see? Krishna is made of rasa. You know, this wonderful phrase from the Upanishads. Raso vaisa. You know? Krishna exists for that. Just as we exist, you know, in the material sphere. Where can I find some pleasure? You know? Nobody exists just to go to work, you know, make money. The whole idea is I'll work, make money, and support my family, then I'll have some comfort and pleasure. Then we'll go to the movies. Then we'll do this, and we'll, you know, buy this, do this, and enjoy. So the motivation is to enjoy. So you can learn a lot about Krishna from thinking of yourself. His motivation is to enjoy. Rasa vaisa. He is made of rasa, that enjoyment that comes from relationship. So for there to be relationship, there has to be more than just one. So he expands. Eko bahusyam. He becomes many for his eternal enjoyment. And that enjoyment is there when he is the supreme enjoyer, and all of these servants, they enjoy through his enjoyment, by enjoying. This wonderful phrase that from the Sandarbhas, that's in the second canto. I remember reading it way back when, you know, in Brooklyn. And then I kind of lost touch with it, and I read it recently. Let me see if I can. Bhajaniya padama sukha matra so sukatvam. The whole philosophy is there in this phrase. Bhajaniya means the worshipable Lord. Padama purusha, the supreme person. So that worshipable person is the supreme person. Sukha matra, only his happiness. Swasukatvam. When we find our happiness solely and only in the happiness of Krishna, that's perfection. That's pure love. You see? Now, the instinctual kind of reflex reaction to that is, well, but what about me? Where's my happiness? I'm the happiness of the... You see? But this is the whole point of love. When there's actual love, you know, then you experience happiness in the happiness of the beloved. You have the perfect example of the mother and child. Prabhupada uses this as the greatest example of selfless love. It's not pure, but it's a close approximation. When the child is completely helpless, you know, doesn't really know there's even a person out there, just that there's a source of nourishment and warmth and love, you know, you feel that. The child is helpless. But the mother, if the child is, you know, warm enough, not too cold, not too hot, you know, is well, you know, and is well fed, and maybe gives you a little smile with that toothless smile, you know, oh, isn't it? That's all you need. The mother isn't thinking, what's in it for me? She's thinking, oh, that child is happy, I'm happy. You see? So we find that in Goloka, you know, and in, you know, Boma Vrindavan, when Krishna's growing up. And Mother Yashoda is simply thinking, you know, what's the benefit of Krishna? Krishna's in the Kaliya, she wants to go in. She knows the poison. She's thinking, let me go in and save him somehow, you know. It's all she's thinking of. Balaram stops. So, but that, the highest ecstasy of loving exchange. So therefore it says, Raso Vaisa, Rasam Hevayam, Labdhanandi Bhavati. The rest of the phrase there is Krishna's made of rasa. And when the living entity regains that state of rasa, rasa mevayam, when we experience it, then anandi, we become an anandi, a blissed out person, you know, whatever you want to call it. That's the person. Bhavati. So that's where our real happiness lies. And it's not limited by the senses. It's not limited by this crazy material world, which is always changing. Our happiness here is so insignificant. It's described as a little drop of water, you know, compared to the ocean of Brahmananda. You know, Brahmananda means merging into the Brahman and being free from all difficulties. No more pains. You're not in a material body. So it's kind of a negative happiness. You know, it's like, oh, I didn't have this pain and that. We're like always in a state of discomfort. Even just sitting on this cold floor, you know, it's like, oh, okay, we have the little seats. Ah, but they're not thick enough. You know, maybe if they're, you know, and then after a few moments, oh, maybe I can sit this way, that way, you know, maybe sleep in, you know, maybe. There's always something, even just sitting in Bhagavatam class. What to speak of getting older, you know what I mean? There's always something. So if we can somehow relieve that or forget about it, oh, that's happiness. Go to the movies, forget about everything, and just enter into the illusion. That's happiness. People make good money for that, right? Or some drug. Oh, let me drink, forget my miseries. So it's just a question of distracting yourself from all of the miseries that you're always feeling. That's not real happiness, you know? So the Brahmananda is coming to the zero point. No misery, you know? It's like turning the air conditioner on. You don't live for the air conditioner. It's too hot. I'm so now I'm comfortable. Then I can go about my business, you see? But the Brahmanandis, they have no business. It's just turning the air conditioner on. That's it. You see what I'm saying? It's negative. But real, so therefore it says, so this sense gratification is like a drop in the ocean compared to Brahmananda. And Brahmananda is a drop in the ocean of Premananda. You see that? So what to speak of sense gratification compared to Prema? There's no comparison. But we're forgetting about that. We forgot about all of that. And we're trying to eke out pleasure here. You see that, how desperate our situation is. So Krishna, out of his mercy, he comes to enlighten us, or he sends his representatives, like Srila Prabhupada, to invite us back. Look, you're wasting your time, the precious human life. You know, reawaken. You know, read the Bhagavatam. Hear for this wonderful instruction of Prahlada Maharaj, and work to regain that state of consciousness, where our pleasure is moment to moment being experienced. There's no end to it. Stai bhava. Who ever heard of such a thing on the material plane? You know, by thinking of Krishna, and more importantly, you know, reawakening an actual relationship of love with Krishna. That's what bhakti is all about. It's actually very simple. So I wanted to take a little time, if you would allow me, since we're coming to the end now of this Prahlada Nrisinga pastimes. I wanted to like go back and kind of the greatest hits, you know, review some of the verses that Prabhupada would quote all the time from Prahlada. Prahlada is so important for the preaching mood and the philosophy and everything of this whole sampradaya. Because that very mood of sacrificing for the benefit of the conditioned souls, to give them some chance of Krishna. That's personified by Prahlada. And speaking truth to power. Prabhupada never compromised. Did he? He never compromised. They wanted to say, Swamiji, the uptown gurus. I met one of them in 1972 in the Ramakrishna mission. I kind of skirted with disaster, and luckily I came to the safe harbor of ISKCON in Brooklyn. But I was involved with them for a while, and the one who Srila Prabhupada met, he had a stroke by the time I saw him, but he met Prabhupada, and when I saw him again, he's dressed in a suit and tie, you know? You don't want to alienate the people, you know? Don't insist on these four regs so much, you know? Try to accommodate. Prabhupada made so many accommodations, but he didn't accommodate anything essential. And he would not budge. You know, the dress is there, the tilak is there, the flag, what do you call the flag? And the four regular principles, you know, he wanted the 64 rounds, you know, the pastime. He came down to 16 minimum, absolute minimum. So Prabhupada is just like Prahlada. He would, you know, meet, you know, these scientists and call them rascals. You're actually a dog, right? And they would agree, you know. they, you know, Prabhupada was, and that's why he was so attractive, because he wouldn't adulterate anything. What's really attractive is the pure essence of the thing. So we're going to review a little bit of these famous verses. And those who know them, some of them, you can chant along with me. Now, this is chronological, kind of as the chapters develop. The context is Hiranyakashipu wants to know how his son is doing in school, right? That's why we have report cards, you remember? So there's no report card here. He's just going to, you know, tell him. So he asks him, what did you learn? What's the best thing you learned today in school or in lesson? So here's the answer. We can all chant. Who knows? Tatsarumanye sadavaya dehinam sadasamudvigna diyama sadgahat hit bhattapatam griyamanda kupam vanam gato yad haramashayeta. So what he's saying, so this is the first shock, because up until that moment, Hiranyakashipu had no idea that Prahlada was a devotee. So this is, what is this? You know, where did he learn this stuff? So what he's saying is, sadhu in this case means the best. So my opinion is that the best thing for the conditioned souls who are sadasabhugnanda diyam, who are always disturbed in this world. This word advigna is used several places. Why? Asadgrahat. Because they've grabbed onto the impermanent. You're holding on to the stone boat. You know, you're trying to survive in this world on the basis of this body, which is asat. But the body breaks down, your circumstance. So therefore, there's always this anxiety. So the best thing to do, hitvatmapatam, is to give up the griyamandakupam, the materialistic household life, which is like a blind well. Give it up because it blocks your devotional service, and go to the forest and take shelter of Hari. You have to understand, for Hiranyakashipu, the word Krishna and Hari is like poison. You know, this is the archenemy. He killed his brother. Right? So here, my son is now a devotee, is recommending that I take shelter of my archenemy? What is this? So he thought he was innocent. He got all over the case of Shandanamarka. You know, they were the teachers. And how did he learn this? He said, we don't know where he learned this, you know. We know he learned in the womb. So that was the first thing. Probably would constantly quote this verse. You know, especially this, Sadasabhugnanda Diyam, to illustrate the real nature of life in this material world is always disturbed. And then, perhaps the most famous of all verses that we should all know. Shavanam kirtanam Vishnu, smadanam pada sevanam, archanam bandhanam dasyam, sakyam atma nivedanam. Then there's actually another one. Iti pungsapida Vishnu, bhaktis chain of alakshanam, kriyeta bhagavatya dha, tanmanye dhitam uttamam. So again, he's asking him about his education, and now he's answering. This is the essence of all education. Nine processes of devotion service. Hearing and chanting about Vishnu. Prabhupada was it about Vishnu, not about anyone else. And then remembering Vishnu, chanting, serving the lotus feet, worshipping, praying, bowing down, becoming a servant, becoming a friend, and surrendering everything. This, he says, when directly offered to Vishnu, constitutes the essence, the uttamam aditam, the essence of all education. And the purport to this verse, of these two verses, is the longest in the whole Bhagavatam. 22 pages long in printed book. So our acharyas, Prabhupada quotes extensively from Bhaktisiddhanta. He goes through all of these nine processes. He goes through all of the 64 processes of archanam. He mentions from the Nectar of Devotion. Very important, obviously very important verse. So this is another gift from Prahlad Maharaj, the essence of devotional service. Then again, there's this confrontation with his father. Father wants to know, where do you get all your strength from? You know, who is this Krishna? You know, so at this point, he basically says to his father, don't worry, dad, you'll never be Krishna conscious. And this famous verse, mati na krishne paratak svatova mitobi padjeta griha vratanam adanta gobhir vishatamta misram punak punaschar vitachar vananam. Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which is already chewed. The famous chewing the chewed. Their inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused either by instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. So the idea here is that if one is taking this firm vow, in other words, he's completely determined to enjoy in materialistic family health, griha vatanam. And because of that determination, adanta gobhya, the senses are uncontrolled. This is the first thing. You have to control the senses. Tasmatvam inyanyado niyam yabhadatashma. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Now, we don't usually say that. We say, oh, just chant Hare Krishna. But as soon as you chant Hare Krishna, your senses are controlled, meaning they're not doing any nonsense, right? The point is that control of the senses has to be there, at least a determination to do it. And the under the proper guidance. So, for someone like this, who is entering further and further into darkness and ignorance, Vishatam Tamisram, then Matya Na Krishne, the mind cannot be put on Krishna. In other words, you can't become Krishna conscious. Either on your own or by some instruction. It doesn't take. Just like, you know, thousands of people come in touch with Krishna consciousness every day. You know? But it doesn't take. They at least not right away anyway, they're blocked from doing that because one way or another they're meeting the qualifications of this verse, trying to chew the chewed, you know, Or more importantly, trying to view the viewed, isn't it? I mean, our life is, we lead a screen-filled life, you know? And we're trying to view this site, this movie, that site, this YouTube, that tube, Facebook. What do they say about me? Right? So many views. You have to keep viewing and viewing, or chewing and chewing. So, this is the first verse. There's three here that provide a complete lesson. And then the next one is even more quoted. This one, Prabhupada would quote the last line mostly. Punak punascharvita charvananam. He would quote the whole verse, but the last line is like a theme. This is one of the first things you learn. It's easy to remember. There's only punak punascharvita charvananam. Chewing the chewed. It really characterizes what material life is all about. Again, going the same place. This person, that person, you know, it'll be different this time. Yeah. No, it's never different. It's always essentially the same. There's no real taste there. It becomes stale. So then he says, they, nate vidu, these persons, nate vidu svartakatim hi vishnum durashaya ye bahiratamaninaha andaya tanda rupaniyamanas tepi shatantram hutadamni buddha. So just to summarize this verse, they don't know that the svarta, here's that word svarta again. You remember yesterday? Etamani vilokesmin punksa svarta paraksmitaha. Very important word, comes up again and again. The real goal of the soul, not the external goal. They don't know that that goal is Vishnu. Vishnu. Nateva du svarta kadimi Vishnu. And therefore, they're busy with external goals, which are impossible to fulfill. Durashaya. And they're led in this misconception by other blind people. It's like you grow up in America or anywhere practically, except the devotee family, serious devotee, and your parents and your teachers and the politicians and the Hollywood, you know, wherever you take your instruction from, and they're all telling you the same thing. Punak punas charvata charvanana. You know, just try to enjoy here, try to enjoy here. So this is called andaya tandaya, upaniyamana, the blind leading the blind. We're helpless in that situation. Until there is an intervention by someone who's enlightened, like the spiritual master, or Krishna himself. You know, or a devotee, you know, who's not pure, but somehow or other, Vartma Pradarshika Guru, gives you the book or the invitation, or somehow brings you to the point where you can hear something else. That life is not meant for sense gratification. Nunam pamakta kuru devi karma. You're mad if you think that you can just enjoy your senses. It's a complete misuse of human life. But here, and everybody stays bound up tightly by the ropes of the gunas, those the instructors and the instructed. So he's telling us, this is what you are, Father. So what's the way out? Third verse. Nishkinchanadam navanita yavat. Now in here, in this verse, there is this use of this pair. You know, Sanskrit is a wonderful language. We have yata tata, very famous, just as so, deinosmin yata de. Just as you pass through, you know, so many bodies in this life, then you get into another one, similarly. So here, this pair is called the yava tavat, means usually negatively. As long as you don't do this, you won't get that. You see? So it starts out, naisham matistavat urukamangin spishati. So literally, again, back to the matihi. This was the way the series began, mati na Krishna. If you want to touch your mind to the lotus feet of Krishna, literally, by thinking of Krishna, become Krishna conscious, you won't be able to do it. And what does he call? Urukrama angrim, you know, the great actor, Krishna. The lotus feet. Now, here's a wonderful phrase. Anartapagamo yadarta. So here again, the word arta, you see, is something valuable. If you want to get the really valuable thing of getting free from all of your anartas, you see? You're getting the arta of anartas, of free from anartas. You see that? Which comes from becoming Krishna conscious, touching your mind to the lotus feet of Krishna by consciousness. You'll never get it until and unless you take a bath in the lotus foot dust of the pure devotee. And defined as nishkinchananam, back to the theme of the verse of the day, is that he has no material motivation. You see? In other words, this person who you're taking shelter of absolutely does not want to exploit you for anything material. He simply has your benefit at heart by teaching and giving you Krishna consciousness. That's nishkinchananam. He has no sense of proprietorship. simply says, I am Krishna's. I have nothing separate. That's Nishkinchananda. So, in other words, until you take shelter of a pure devotee, you have no chance of becoming Krishna conscious. And that's, you know, it's kind of a long shot that Hiranyakashipu is going to do that. So, therefore, he says, Matiuna Krishna. Now, this was just infuriating to Hiranyakashipu, you can imagine. So this is where I think he starts to try to get him killed by his henchmen and his all that pastime. But they can't do it, you know. And so finally, after, you know, trying to crush by the elephants, throwing him off the cliff, poisoning, boiling oil, you know, trying to cut him up, any way that they had, he was immune. So Hiranyakashipu was kind of freaking out. Like, what has he got here? So Shandanamarka, they encourage him, don't worry. He's just a kid. We can bend him. You know, we've done it before. We'll just teach him. And then everything will be fine. So, okay, try again. So at this point, Prahlad starts teaching his friends. And this is the final straw. You know, it's one thing if Prahlad is incorrigible, but now he's spreading the poison amongst all of his friends. He's seditious. The whole kingdom is going to be destroyed. So this is what finally puts Hiranyakashipu over the edge, where he's going to take it in hand, and we know what happens. But here is this very, a very important voice, two nice verses from Prahlad's teaching to his friends. Everyone together? Every Gurukul kid knows this verse. Komara achare pragyo dharman bhagavataniha durlabhang manasam janma tadapya dhruvamartadam. So from childhood, one should begin devotional service. Komara aptadam. Bhagavad Dharma. It's this verse, and you know, Prabhupada was Bhagavad Dharma discourses, which became the book, Civilization and Transcendence. Again, durlabhang manasam, the same theme. Very difficult to get the human form. It's a dhruvam. It's temporary. But, here's that word again, artadam. You can get actually the goal of life, the value, your svarta, from this. Therefore, he's telling his friends, don't just play all day. Don't just become demons, you know. Worship Vishnu. And it's very wonderful instructions. He goes on. And third one here. This is one of these themes that Prahlad has that whatever happiness you're going to schedule to get, you'll get. Just as you automatically get dukkha. So this is the text 763 here. Sukhamaindriya kam daitya dehi yoga in a dehinam sarvatra labhmite hidayavad yata dukkha mayatnata. So hence, sense happiness, demon friends, which is rises up from the body. From having a body, you're going to have a certain amount of happiness and a certain amount of distress. It comes automatically, daiva, according to your schedule, whatever you're going to get, your good karma. Just as you get dukkha, ayatnatak, without trying for it. Prabhupada talk about this all the time. It's right out of Narada Muni, chapter 5, first canto. It's a revolutionary idea, because everybody is working like anything to minimize their unhappiness and maximize their happiness. And it's all useless labor. You're going to have a certain amount of happiness, a certain amount of unhappiness. So then what should we do? Again, just sit and wait for it? No, you have to work very hard to become Krishna conscious. Only for that. That's therefore devotees are so busy. That's what we should be busy about. Everything for Krishna, you know, nothing for Maya. That's the whole idea. Prabhupada set it up that way. So this is another one. And then a few of the prayers I'm just going to share with you. These are the ones that Prabhupada would quote most often. There, some of you may know some of these. Viprad, Vishad, Duna Yadara, the Vinna Naba, Pada, the Vinda, Mokatsu, Pachambadistam, Manye, Tadabita, Manova, Chanehitata, Pranam, Bunata, Sakradam, Natabudi, Mana. So here, he's saying, this is near the beginning of his prayers, he's kind of giving the rationale why he can offer prayers. Because he's born in a demon family. Plus, he's just a child. You know? But he's saying that, even a vipra, even a Brahmin, lotus naval lord, Adavinda Naba Pada Adavinda, Vimukad, if a Brahmin has these 12 qualifications, we know from Bhagavad Gita there's about 6 or 7 in that one verse. Shamo, Dhamma, Tapak, Shaucham, austere, self-controlled, learned, religious, right? Tolerant. But there's some more that I won't give you. There's like 12, there's a verse about 12 qualifications. But, Padadavinda Mimukad, if he's turned away from your lotus, if you reject your lotus feet, then the dog eater is better. Who? Tadarpita Manovachanehitata Pranam. who's offered his mind, his words, his activities, his wealth, and his life to the service of the Lord, he can purify his whole family, who assumedly are also dog eaters. But the Brahmin can't even purify himself if he's proud of his qualification of, you know, learning and so forth, but he's not a devotee. So this is the contrast. This comes up again and again. And on the basis of verses like this in the Bhagavatam, this verse and other verses, Prabhupada came to America to uplift the, you know, the dog eaters, the cow eaters. I always said the cow eaters must be worse than the dog eaters. Isn't it? Worse to kill a cow than to kill a dog? So here we were, you know, 300 million cow eaters, and Prabhupada came on the basis of this, oh, if I can just get them to offer their mind and their words, you know, to Krishna, they'll be purified. Another famous one. So on the basis of that, Lord Chaitanya's movement and his process is so powerful that it doesn't, your birth doesn't matter, provided that you surrender to the process. Whereas so many puffed up Brahmins and this and that, you know, they're ineligible because they're too proud of their learning or proud of their birth like that. Very important theme. Another one Prabhupada quote all the time, Balasaneya Shadanam Pitaro Nasingha Nata Sachaganamudanvanimajito. Now, in this verse, he's saying to Lord Nrisimhadev, without your blessing, then no one can protect anything else. There's no remedies for anything in this world. The father cannot protect the son. The doctor cannot help the patient. The boat cannot help you in the ocean. You know, it'll leak. The medicine won't work. The father will protect you. You get kidnapped or whatever. You know. In other words, without or any other remedy that one may have, still depends on the benediction of the Lord. Therefore, why not just surrender to the Lord? You know, for his benediction. If you get his benediction, then you'll be protected of everything. This is the whole idea. Then there's a verse here, very important, not so often quoted, but the last line, Ittam Nitya Grisha Devi Jasha. This verse describes Lord Chaitanya as the covered avatar. Channa Kalo Yadabhavastu Yugotas. Krishna is known as Tri Yuga, because he comes openly as a Yuga avatar in the first three Yugas, but he comes covered in the last Yuga. And this verse is quoted by our acharyas to show, oh, Lord Chaitanya, he's covered avatar. He never showed. He occasionally did, for the inner circle, show his divinity. But basically, he would always, you know, if they call him Vishnu, he would block his ears, right? But here, channa. Channa means covered. So there is a yuga avatar for this yuga. Then, perhaps the two most famous verses of Pallad's prayers. Naivod vijaya padadadache davaitaranyas. Now, in this verse and the next one, and the purport there, Prabhupada more or less lays down his whole rationale for coming to America. This is such an important verse, 7943. You can all read it. In this verse, he says, "My dear Lord, I don't have any difficulty. I've already crossed beyond the ocean of the river between the material and spiritual world, the Vaitarani River. You know, even though you may appear to be on this side, his consciousness is on the other side, and so that he has no problem. Because anywhere I am, I can always sing about your powerful activities and merge my consciousness in an ocean of nectar." Mahamata Chitta. Is it? Magna Chitta. And this is a very important point. This is how he survived all of those attacks. He was simply merged his consciousness in Krishna. And he wasn't troubled, just like Haridas Thakur. He's being beaten and beaten and beaten, and he's just chanting Hare Krishna, completely absorbed, and he wasn't affected. Not that he was tolerating the pain. He didn't feel any pain. So, but he is lamenting. Shoche. How can such a great devotee lament? Isn't that the first instruction? Ashochana Vashochastra. In the Bhagavad Gita, don't lament. But he said, don't lament for the body. So, Pallad is not lamenting for the body. Pallad is lamenting here, Shoche Tadok, for the souls of the conditioned souls who are suffering so much. Vimukha Chaitas. I hear that word Vimukha again. Means turning away. Their consciousness is away from Krishna. And because of that, invyaya mayasukhayam, they're simply absorbed in trying to enjoy the illusory happiness of sense gratification. And it's a great burden, bottom. You know, it's a great burden to try to the enterprise of trying to enjoy these senses. It's impossible. And you can never, you know, even if you get some sense gratification, someone else is getting some more, and so you're envious. You see the problem?
So he's lamenting. Vimudha. He calls him Vimudha. Not just mudas. Vimudas. He's really stupid. So then the verse that's most, he would quote a lot. Prayena deva munayosa vimukti kama. And here he's saying, for the most part, those who are interested in liberation, or spiritual life, they only want their own mukti. Sova mukti kama. It's a kind of lust. Mukti bukti siddhi kami. Lord Chaitanya says the same thing. Mukti kami. In other words, it's a personal thing. It's really no different than someone just, again, turning on the air conditioner to avoid the miseries. It just means that it's a big air conditioner. So all your miseries are solved. I now have mukti. What about everyone else? The heck with them. Isn't it? That's the whole idea. Vijane naparata nishta. With no determination for others. Again, the word artha. For helping others. Just let me be liberated, you see? And for that, they go where there's no people. They go alone. You know, to the forest, to the caves, right, to the mountains, somewhere where don't distract me. And they practice silence. Where do you see a devotee who practices silence? You know? So, kirtan, preaching, you know, everything is sound, transcendental sound. So Prahlad says, I'm not going to give them up. Naitan vihaya, these creepiness, these wretches, who are vimamuksha ego, who simply want their own liberation alone, because I don't see anyone else but you who can give them shelter, my Lord. So I have to give them you. That's the whole idea of the devotee. People are in ignorance, so let's give them Krishna in any way we can. Entice them, attract them. Sunday feast, come, vegetarianism, somehow or other. And so get them involved. And it's a trick, you know. They come for one thing and they get something else. They get the best thing. They get the best, prasad is the best thing, but the point is that they don't know what they're getting into. But that's okay, because they need that. So these are the verses of Prahlad. And then the last one I'll quote here. This is the last one that Prabhupada would always quote. And it's a heavy verse. That again, he says, the happiness of grihamedi life, materialistic household life, centered, beginning with sex life, is very insignificant. Tucham. It's insignificant when you understand the hierarchy of real pleasure that I explained. Brahmananda and then Premananda. It's just nothing. That's like to say, what is that? Chaktvatu namashesha mandala pati shading sadat tuchavat. The same word is used, tuchavat. The Goswamis, Rupa and Sanatan, they were, in the mix with the aristocrats. Of course, they were aloof to some degree, but they were associating, But that whole thing, you can imagine, all aristocracy, money, everything at your beck and call, That's, he says, tuchavat. It's just insignificant. As soon as they met Lord Chaitanya. So the same thing is here. He says, kanduyanena kadayovit dukkha dukkham. All this sex life and everything, like itching. You scratch an itch. Ah, it's relief. And then 2 seconds later, it itches more. You see? So dukkha dukkham, misery, misery. More misery, misery. So tripyan, you're never satisfied. These creepiness. Again, he used the words wretches. Bahu dukkha bhaja. More and more misery. So many things. I don't have to detail it. So, but kanduti vamanasvivan, someone who understands the fact that it's just itching, the nature of it, he'll be dira. This word dira again is tolerate and direct his attention toward Krishna consciousness, which can, madana mohan, he can take your mind away from this, business. So those are the famous verses of Prahlad. There's a lot of them that Prabhupada would always quote. And so much of the philosophy is there in the teachings of Prahlad. And it's a complete lesson. We should study this, and he's really important for our sampradaya. The mood, the teachings, everything is there. Any questions or comments on any of these points? Maybe I'll just read this translation again. It's a little late, but I'll read it. Oh, my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant, and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master, and I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. Any comments or questions on some of these points? Yes, Prabhu. I'll repeat it. Go ahead. I'll repeat it.
Each and every one is part and parcel of Krishna. Sometimes it's very hard to convince some people to surrender to Krishna, but sometimes it's very easy.
Many times. Okay.
So some people are very easy to be convinced, but some people are very hard.
Yes.
What are the factors that influence them to mix it?
Previous life, usually. There's something called agyata sukriti. You know, from your previous life or lives, you may have done some service. And that, you, just one thing, like, you know, you meet a devotee on Sankirtan, and you buy a book, or you say, oh, I don't really want the book, but here's a donation, you're a nice person. You know, that's it for this lifetime. That's it. But that service, that money, hopefully, goes straight into the hundi, you know, and it's used for Krishna, then that's not forgotten. So that person may be accumulating some of that in this one lifetime or several lifetimes. Then, when they have a chance to actually hear, you know, or take part in devotional service, they're receptive to the message. And it happens all the time. All of us had so much experience. You know, the two brothers, you know, of course in your case, three brothers became devotees. That's unusual. I had a brother. He didn't, you know, I preached to him. I tell him the philosophy. Absolutely, you know, this didn't compute, you know. Were you nuts? You know? And because he didn't somehow, you know, I had some background, maybe, whatever. So that's, you know, Prabhupada understood that perfectly well. But, you know, they have this phrase in the Bible, wasn't it? Peter is supposed to become a fisher of men, you know? In other words, you try to try to get those persons who can take to the, you know, who can, are a little receptive to take to the process. But out of, you know, many, just like you go fishing, I used to go fishing, you know, and oftentimes, you know, for hours you go, there's no bites. Well, there's a lot of fish down there, but they're not biting, you know. And so then one fish will come, you know. So, similarly, we're fishes of human beings. But, so this whole preaching movement is somehow or other to attract the attention of the souls who can be attracted and to give them as much Krishna as possible. And for the fortunate few, they'll say, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And as soon as they come into the association of devotees, seriously, if they come into the temple, you know, powerful association, and they start chanting, then then all bets are off, you know, because that process, if they're really chanting with some attention, they're hearing it, then they have a good chance of making substantial advancement or even going back to Godhead. So that's you never know, even in the same family, you know, there'll be someone who's fascinated with the whole philosophy and, you know, and others which this doesn't make any sense, you know. It's just like Through the Looking Glass. I don't know if you ever read Alice in Wonderland. Probably not. Did you? Through the Looking Glass? Anyway, it's like everything is opposite, you know. It's like Krishna says, it's all reflected. So people who are firmly involved in the illusory world, you know, of the looking glass, then everything on this side seems crazy. But we know that they're crazy, right? But Prabhupada said, who is crazy? and so it's all, you know, illusory. But if you're deeply in that illusion and committed to it, then it's very difficult to you know, be attracted. That's how it works. Anything else? Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I will.